Welcome to the Faith Element Podcast for July 12, 2015, for Session 7.28, Not Yet Time. Well, welcome to another episode of the Faith Element Podcast. I'm joined tonight by Nikki Hardiman, Aaron Hall, and Daniel Glaze. Welcome, everyone.
Hey, David.
Thanks, David.
Hey.
Aaron Hall is our guest this evening. She was part of our last podcast episode and has also joined us for this one. And if you don't know Aaron, you need to get to know her. She's a minister, teacher, a mom, and a blogger living in Macon, Georgia. And you can, of course, learn more about her at her blog. She does some really good writing there. It's AaronRobinsonHall.com. I hope you'll check her out there. Aaron, we're really glad you're with us this evening.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
We're going to be looking today at a text from Ephesians, and sometimes these can be dense texts. Daniel, why don't you help us begin to get our head around this text and its direction?
Great. Thanks, David. Yes, we're in the book of Ephesians. This is the very first chapter and first section here in Ephesians. I have to say this is some beautiful language that the author has here. Gosh, I wish I could write like this, but this is some beautiful language the author has for us here. And let me just start here by saying you'll hear me talk about the writer or the author. Traditionally, we talk about this being a letter of Paul, but most scholars tend to think that Ephesians is one of what they call the disputed letters of Paul. That shouldn't concern us too much, I don't think, because in the ancient world when this was being written, it was not at all plagiarism to write in someone else's name. For instance, if David or Nikki or Aaron were one of my teachers, and I was writing a letter or writing up some theological treatise that was certainly influenced by their teaching, I would put from Aaron, if she were my teacher, so that's what we have here. This is certainly in the Pauline school, but this section certainly concentrates on extolling the blessing, the grace, the salvation that comes from God. And as I read this section, the author is clear that the proper response to God's gifts is just pure praise. Now, the writer is clear that God's desire is to bless and save, but he's very clear in this section that it all comes through Christ. If you read this, you might have been struck by how many times he says, in Christ. To the saints who are faithful in Christ, God has blessed us in Christ. He chose us in Christ. We have an inheritance in Christ, hope in Christ, on and on and on. He's clear that the grace of God comes to us in and through Christ. And the response to all this, as I said, is worship and praise. Another angle for teaching this lesson, and I hope it's a topic that we'll talk about, is this idea of God choosing us, that God has chosen us before the foundations of the world. It certainly makes me think of God's choosing of Abraham to be the father of many generations, or choosing Israel to be a blessing to other nations. So as we read this, I think it's helpful for us to ask ourselves, if God has chosen us, what has God chosen us for? Has God chosen us just to be special or better than anyone else? Or is there some mission or purpose behind that choosing? Another angle we could talk about, and perhaps those listening to this would choose to teach, would be this idea of being blessed in Christ. What does that really mean? If we are blessed in some ways, does that mean others are not blessed? Language of blessing certainly is biblical, but have we perhaps misunderstood it? That's certainly something worthy of discussion and of your teaching. And what does it mean that God has chosen us? All of these issues come out in this rich text from Ephesians.
Daniel, that's a great help, and I think you have made your point. The next time I write a letter, I'm going to write from Daniel, my teacher. I'm going to write your name. I think that
will get you nowhere.
I seriously doubt that. But I think you've brought up some really important things. And when I think about this idea of being chosen and blessed, I think it is such a complicated it's a complicated thing. There's so many things through history and in our own lives that complicate the issue. So it causes me to think back, where is the first time this happened in Scripture? And it takes you back to Abraham. When Abraham is called by God to go where I will send you, he says, go, and he's not told where to go. He simply says, go, and Abraham goes. And God says to Abraham, I will bless you. I have chosen you. I will bless you. But the section ends that others will be blessed through you. And so whenever I spend time with that text, this idea of being blessed and being chosen, I can't help but think of Abraham and how he was called by God to bless other people. He's blessed to be a blessing. And so Abraham wasn't blessed to have a good and rich and glorious life, but rather he was blessed to work, to be something for God in the world. And that's what I end up thinking about.
Yeah, I also, you know, I don't want to get rid of the blessing language, as I said, but I think I want to nuance it. You know, in my own life, purely objectively speaking, I have two wonderful children, and two beautiful daughters whom I love dearly, and I consider to be blessings from God. But for my friends who have struggled with infertility or who the dream of mother and fatherhood was never realized, were they not blessed from God? You know, this is a question, you know, that I have in my own heart and don't really have a great answer for it. And sort of, I feel like I talk out of both sides of my mouth, but one thing I do know, whenever we use this idea of blessing and we consider ourselves to be blessed from God, I think, as you mentioned, Nikki, particularly in light of the Abraham story, it's important to ask ourselves, blessed for what or for whom? Are we blessed because God just wants to shine a little brightly on us, or is it because perhaps we God wants us to share blessings? God wants us, you know, we're blessed with the love of God in Christ, and but that's not at all something we ought to keep to ourselves, but share with others. So I guess I, you know, even though I struggle with this a lot, I want us to, I guess I need to, in my own life, ask, if I do consider myself to be blessed, for what, for whom, for what purpose, where does God want me to go with that?
I don't know about you guys, but the word blessing just makes me cringe. I mean, like, hives break out. I have seen this word. I have a little plaque with the word blessed. It's just...
bless your heart.
Bless your heart. I am too blessed to be stressed. I'm blessed to be a blessing. I mean, it gets a little crazy. And I think that, like Daniel said, often it's used to name something that's out of reach for someone, like they're hoping for a blessing, or it's permission for excess, or it is... language of the sacred is something that has nothing to do with anything sacred. Like, your jet plane has very little to do with Jesus. And people throw the word blessing around and it kills me. So I get the Abraham piece there and all that. But I think there's so much connected with blessing that we... need to think about exactly what Daniel's talking about. Blessed for what?
Well, the writer here, one of the ways he talks about blessing, which is helpful for me, verse 11, he says, in Christ we have obtained an inheritance. That certainly conveys blessing language to me. And I, as I read that, I struggled with, you know, what exactly that meant. I looked at a few different translations. In Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, The Message, he says, rather than obtain an inheritance, he says it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. And so through that lens, I wonder whether our inheritance or our blessing from Christ might be knowing who we are, why we're here, the mission we've been given. It's not at all riches or health or things like that, but more foundational to who we are in Christ, who we can be as His followers in the world.
So it's about our identity.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that all of this is really interesting, and I think that what it kind of begs is the question of what is the blessing? What are we blessed for? We've talked a little bit about that, but what are blessings? And we kind of, you know, before we begin to record our podcast, we all throw a couple things out. And so I have to give credit to Aaron for this one, making the connection to the Sermon on the Mount, that when Jesus talks about blessing, it's that blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek. And I think that a lot of times we preach about those or we teach about those, but when we talk about what are blessings in our life, that's not what we usually identify.
So I love this language from, blessing is such a struggle, but Walter Brueggemann offers this definition that kind of works, that blessed or blessing is power for life. And so it kind of makes sense with what we're saying. It's actual material wealth, things that give you security, that secure your family, your community. And we know that wealth does that, but it's also wealth for the whole. And we know that, you know, those kind of things can help our community to be more secure, to be more fruitful. And so I wonder what material thing, what does power for life mean if we are a Christ follower? Like identity, like Daniel was saying, definitely. But it's this particular kind of power for a particular kind of life. So, you know, things like gentleness and mercy are not things we look at as powerful, but they do empower us to live a particular kind of way.
I also think encouragement can be, as power for life. I mean, in my own life, as I look at markers for me often, they have been where other people have given me a surprising encouragement. You know, they've said, hey, you're good at that, or I really wish you would do more of this, or do you realize that that's something you're gifted with? And which I probably wouldn't have even thought about, but the fact that someone went out of their way to offer words of encouragement felt like a blessing, and certainly felt like it was empowering. It gave me the strength maybe to go in a direction that I wouldn't have before. An example early on, I mean, when I was young, I would have never thought, you know, that art was something that I would have ability in or interest in. And my first art teacher was just so encouraging that, you know, I just enjoyed being in there because I felt good about myself, and ended up taking art for 4 years. And of course, part of my work now is in the design area. And I look all the way back to high school to give credit to her for helping me to recognize that in myself, because I don't know that I would have had she not made the effort. Is that blessing?
I think it probably is. I think it's a really beautiful image of what blessing can look like in our world. And she was able to give that gift to you because somebody gave a gift to her at some point in her life. You know, she was able to pass that along.
I think blessing might be too, like in your story, blessing is recognition and seeing things with a particular lens and seeing that gift in you. And I think something that, you know, those of us who follow kind of the mom stories or mom blogs or any of that kind of thing, there's a going trend talking about the blessedness in the mess and showing your real life pictures of exactly what your living room looks like a day after, you know, kids have gone crazy and nothing has gone right, but still noting the blessedness in those moments. And I think it's recognition. It's seeing what's there and how that works for the whole of the family. And so maybe that's what we're talking about here, is recognizing the gifts and the beautiful things that are there and how they matter for the bigger picture. Nobody go and look at my living room, please. It's a hot mess.
We'll be posting those photos in the show notes.
Absolutely. I could give you a few of my own right now. And I think I cleaned up yesterday, so right. It was kind of pointless.
Yeah.
I think the part of the problem with blessing language is that it feels paternalistic. I have something and I'm going to give it to you. But when we talk about blessing as things like mercy and pure in heart and peacemakers, anybody can be blessed. All people can be blessed, no matter who you are, no matter your socioeconomic status or race or sexual orientation, because blessedness has to do with gifts from God that are given to us, to our being, to who we are. And anybody can have those blessings. And anybody can share those blessings with other people. I know that I talk often, I had the great opportunity to study abroad in India when I was in college. And I worked in a children's home while I was there. And there was this little girl, she was probably about four. And she was blind and almost deaf, but she learned who I was. And that little girl exhibited joy that I didn't comprehend. And granted, from a four-year-old's perspective, she didn't know everything that she was missing in the world, but that's kind of beyond the point. She was able to bless me because she showed me joy, and I was able to understand what that looked like in a context that I had no comprehension of until I saw it for her. And so anybody then is capable of doing that. And it doesn't become this kind of top-down gift that has to be given, but rather it's shared in community.
Yeah, I really resonate with that, Nikki. And I think that goes back to something, at least in my mind, that Erin was talking about before, about her difficulty with some of the blessing language. Because, you know, just the way we talk about the blessings we receive is often markedly different from the way God talks about blessing throughout Scripture. You know, we've been talking a little bit about the Beatitudes, but we talk about our blessings being gifts that we've received, or wealth that we have, or health that we're enjoying. But Jesus is clear that there's blessing in mourning. There's blessing in being meek. Jesus blesses those who are hungry and thirsty, and says they will be filled by God. And so I'm wanting us to rethink our blessing language, and when we talk about the ways that we've been blessed, let's also think about the way God talks about blessing in Scripture, and quite often those things are opposite, or at least very far apart from one another.
You know, the blessing, part of the blessing we're talking about in this Ephesians text is adoption, being brought into the family. And I don't know if you guys saw the story about the preschool within the nursing home.
Yeah.
It's just such a beautiful story.
Yes.
But they have set up a preschool setting with senior adults, with the elderly, and they learn together. And it goes right along with what Nikki was saying about everyone having something to offer. And I just think of this beautiful picture of being brought into the family of God. Adoption did not say you were pulled out and singled out as one beautiful snowflake. It says that you are brought into the family, you know, the messiness of it, like we were saying before, but also just the beautiful learning from each other and sharing that power for life with each other. In the nursing home, the preschoolers and the senior adults are both struggling with buttoning their shirts, or, you know, painting, or learning the moves to the song, but they help each other out. And none of them care what anybody looks like. They're all totally over it, but they're having such a great time and learning from each other.
Yeah, it was. It's a beautiful story. I enjoyed seeing it run around on social media. And that brings me to another point that we find in the text. It just kind of made me think about something else we've looked at in the text. And it talks about how Daniel referenced the language in his introduction, in this beautiful language, and it kind of paints this picture of what the world is supposed to be, what the kingdom of God looks like. And I can't help but put that language up against what I experience in the world, what I find on the news, because so often it's not stories like the preschool in the nursing home. I know that for me, it's still really fresh what happened in Charleston, and there's still just no words for me related to this, and I have struggled with that and so many other things that happen in our world that do not at all look like what this Ephesian passage calls us to live into. But yet I hear the Ephesian passage calling me to live this way. And so I find myself struggling to know how to live with the hope of that when so many in our world, that hope gets obscured by so many things that happen.
Well, Nikki, that's an excellent point, because one thing this, you know, the author talks about is certainly God's plan being very mysterious, revealed yet not yet revealed. We talk about the kingdom of God fulfilled yet not yet fulfilled, and mm-hmm. The story you mentioned, you know, from Charleston, that is especially for people of faith, but just for humanity in general, such a painful tragedy that we're all struggling to understand. It just reinforces in my mind that yes, the kingdom of God is at hand, but no, this is not God's plan for us, that we're still living less than the beloved community that Christ desires for us.
The beloved community is where this story just hits me in the gut. And I think one of the things that hurts so much about the story in Charleston that's so recent is that we can identify with a group gathering together in a place of worship where they think they're safe. Of course, you think you're safe there. And so many of it, I mean, there's so many stories in the news we just can't identify with. They're tragic, but we can't picture ourselves there. But that story of community, for me, touched so closely. Yes. But maybe that's where the blessing happens, that we are blessed to offer our life-giving power, our mercy and our care, our prayers and all that stuff to this community, because they may lack it right now. And so we have that compassion to care.
Well, I think that, for many, as conversations have been happening already, some of that comes in the form of trying to have real, honest conversations about what the struggle of racism and hate crimes, and it challenges us to have honest, real conversations about these issues. I mean, when we can approach those faithfully, perhaps that's a piece of it.
Can't help but go back to the Sermon on the Mount. We keep returning to it in this, but blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the peacemakers. I mean, these are all positions of need. There's a need in each one of those. You need peacemaking because there's violence and strife. We need meekness because there's so much arrogance and all that flows from that arrogance. There is this need. And when we look at our world, I think you're right, Nikki, we look at the news and the refugee situations from the warring areas in our world. And many of those are children. I think I heard that over half the refugee population is children. There is so much need. And then we hear this, and we know this, that it's not yet the beloved community. It's not yet God's world. Is part of the call to be blessing, to live out these Sermon on the Mount values in ways that help, bring this vision of God closer.
When I hear not yet, I hear my mother is an artist, and she makes and crafts and does all kind of crazy things. I am art free. I have no artistic ability whatsoever. And so when I walk up on her, or my brother or sister or dad will walk up and see her painting or creating jewelry out of nothing or something, we will often walk up and say, "What are you doing?" Because we walk up in the middle and we see pieces of what's going to happen. And she will say, "Just wait," or "Just trust me." And it is always this beautiful thing that happens. And it, you know, swirling mess on the canvas can end up being this beautiful picture. And when I think of the peacemakers and the meek and the mourning, I just wonder how they are swirling together to end up being part of this most beautiful artistry that we just can't even see yet.
Mm. Your story made me think about baking with my children. My son, he wants to taste every ingredient. And so he wants to taste it before it goes in, especially, of course, the sugar. But he always wants to taste the cinnamon and the cocoa. And I tell him it's not gonna taste good now. But sure, why not? So I let him. I let him taste all of it except the raw egg. But though I will let him, you know, take a raw cookie dough, if you will. But you know, I let him taste the cinnamon, and he makes an awful face. And I let him taste the cocoa, which is even worse all by itself. It's so bitter. He's like, "Why are you putting that in there? That's gross." But when it all comes together and it bakes into yummy goodness, you understand you had to have all of it to make yummy, delicious, warm cookies. Now, who wants to go get some right now?
Absolutely, but need some cookies.
I know, right? It's living with that hope. It's living with kind of this faith that at some point this is all moving toward what God wants for us in Christ.
Thank you again for your time and insight. Who would think blessing was such a difficult conversation to have and something to think about? But I appreciate you helping me think about it in new ways today. So watch out for this hot weather, Nikki, Aaron, and Daniel. Be safe and be well.
Thanks, David. Y'all take care.
Thanks, David. You too.
Thank you.
Find more information about this podcast, as well as videos and teaching resources for this session, at faithelement.net. Subscribe to the Faith Element podcast on iTunes. Faith Element is a service of Faith Lab.